a big star to me. You're everything I wanna be, but you're stuck in a hole. And I want you to get out. I don't know what there is to see, but I know it's time for you to leave. We're all just pushing along, trying to figure it out, out, out. All your anticipation pulls you down, when you can have it all, you can have it all. It's not good for your health. I know that you can change, so clear your head and come round. You only have to open your eyes, you might just get a big surprise, and it may feel good. And you might want to smile, smile, smile. Oh, don't you let your demons pull you down, 'cause you can have it all, you can have it all.
Welcome to Good Company with me, Karen Y, and Amelia Hilton. That was Shine by Take That. And Amelia, what's coming up on the show?
Yes, today on RNIB Connect Radio, we will be discussing looking after yourself while looking after other people. We all go through times in different relationships where we need to lean on others, or the people close to us might need a bit more support. So we'll be talking to Glenn about his experiences of caring for his mum as she ages and her sight changes. And I'm really, really looking forward to sharing the interview and for us to have a chat, Karen, because Glenn shares some of the big challenges and some of the lessons that he's learned and some great techniques for getting through tough times. As we do every month, we've also got a family band to share with you. And this time we've got a very sunny, upbeat track.
The Alessi Brothers. Woohoo! And then we've got Wise Words as well.
Yes, we'll be hearing from our very own Toby Davey. But before we jump back into the music, Karen, it's getting colder. What are some of the ways that you've been looking after yourself, getting cosy and embracing the wintry vibes?
I have invested in a very thick pair of bed socks because my feet get cold now and they make it lovely and warm.
Oh, those sound great. I've been doing similar things. I've been making a hot flask of tea. If I go on an afternoon walk, which I love holding in my hands as I wander around. And I've also got a hot water bottle that I use every night before bed. Little treats and top-ups like that can make a big difference to the amount of energy or capacity you have when you need to show up for other people. But let's move back into the music now. Here is a song that fits right in with our theme for today.
Cyndi Lauper and Time After Time.
Lying in my bed, hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. Flashback, warm nights, almost left behind. Suitcase of memories. Sometimes you picture me, I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me, I can't hear what you've said. Then you say, go slow, I fall behind. The second hand unwinds.
If you're lost, you can look and you will. Time after time, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time.
Watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. Secrets stolen from deep inside. The drum beats out of time.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting.
Listening to Good Company here on RNIB Connect Radio, and we're talking about caring for yourself while caring for others on this episode. And next we'll hear my conversation with Glenn Turner. I came across his blog and was really moved by his writing about caring for his mum, and we get into some of the big challenges of being a carer with sight loss for someone with sight loss, and some of the ways that him and his mum have kept the son-mother part of their relationship going as well.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing this interview. Let's head over to Glenn.
Glenn Turner is a visually impaired accessibility advocate, culture lover, and blog writer of Well, I Never. In recent months, his mum's health has been declining and Glenn's responsibilities as a carer have increased. He's here today to talk about navigating this change in their relationship, some of the challenges, and the places they've both found helpful support. Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So to get started, can you tell us about your level of sight and how you began your blog?
I have a condition called aniridia, which means I don't have any irises in my eyes. I was born with that. I inherited it from my mother. It basically means that I can't adjust to changes in light very well. So I'm overly sensitive to glare. I'll wear sunglasses on a cloudy day, for instance. It takes a lot longer for me to adjust to dim lighting, that kind of thing. And I also have nystagmus as a side effect. So my eyes kind of shake all the time. So I don't notice the shaking, but it means it's harder for me to focus on things at a distance. But on the whole, my sight is pretty good. The comparison I can think of best to make for sighted people is if they're seeing the world in 4K, high definition, I'm still stuck on old VHS tape mode, if that makes sense. So the detail isn't quite as clear. So I started my blog, Well, I Never, in 2016, so nearly 10 years ago now. And I did that because I was moving to London at the time and I wanted to start making some new connections online. And I saw there was other bloggers online. So I just thought I'd jump in, give it a go, write a bit about myself. Didn't expect to do much with it. Thought, yeah, I'll move up London, start living my life and probably forget about it. But people took a great interest when I wrote about my eye conditions and other things relating to it, things that I did as I went out and about. And it's just kind of grown from there, really. So I just update it regularly with theatre shows or museums or places I've travelled to and entertainment I've been enjoying, as well as disability-related stuff as well. So it's a nice little hobby on the side. I don't consider myself to be a big influencer or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm getting quietly noticed and people are very supportive of me. I know it's been supportive to a lot of people as well, including parents of children who have the same condition as me, for example. They've reacted very positively to it. It's given them a lot of encouragement that their child, for instance, can live a happy and positive life like I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, you document the things that are big in your life or that interest you. And you began writing your carer's journal where you share your experiences about caring for your mum. How did you feel when you first started sharing these experiences and what was the prompt to begin writing them down?
I think writing my carer's journal was a bit of self-therapy in a way. I'd already been keeping a journal of my own anyway, but I knew I didn't want to keep this like to myself to bottle it all up because it was becoming stressful. So in a way, it was kind of a cry for help as well to see if anybody could give advice or anything. But I also knew from previous experience with other things that I've had going on in my life that bottling things up and trying to deal with it yourself, it can send your mind down some very dark alleys. You know, I mean, it kind of felt a bit like the COVID lockdowns again, really, because I feel like I'm in lockdown again in a way because I'm not going out quite so much. As I say, my mind went into some dark areas of mental health that I didn't feel comfortable with, so I got help as soon as I could and got out of it. But I didn't want to go down that path again, nor do I want mum to go down that path as well. So any avenue I can find to get some help or support of any kind is good. And also, there's just no shame in sharing it either. I know there are lots and lots of unpaid carers out there, a lot of whom are going through a lot worse than me, with end-of-life care or cancer, dementia, or all sorts of things going on. We are very lucky in many respects compared to many people. But I know that reading about other people's experiences can be helpful. I mean, there's various resources for carers online, and reading through a few of them, I kind of found myself relating to some of that stuff myself, and it quite moved me, some of the stuff I was reading, because it's like, yes, that's exactly what we're going through. There are people who understand. One of the charities I'm a member of, who supports one of my eye conditions, they actually very kindly put the blog post in their newsletter, in their email newsletter that went out, and already through that, someone's got in contact who is going through similar to my mum, and we're going to be talking to them soon, hopefully. So that would be really nice for mum to talk to someone who can actually understand what she's going through, because that's the one thing I can't do, really.
It sounds really helpful to know that some of these really challenging experiences you're going through are helping other people get through similar things, and you're kind of making a peer support network, even though it's difficult for you to be going out and the structure and schedule of your life has changed.
But it is good to have that kind of peer support around you. And obviously my friends are reading the blog as well, so they're getting a lot of detail of what's been going on. It's a lot easier for me to kind of structure my thoughts when I'm writing them down rather than, say, just chatting with a friend, because there are bound to be things that I've missed. So I can actually write it out and see for myself what's happening as well. You know, it's easy to be kind of in the eye of the storm and sort of worry about things and panic about things. So to actually write it down, lay it out, I can see clearly what's happening. And I can also pick up the positives much more easily as well, which is also helpful. So
I imagine as well, it's also helpful to know that when you see your friends, you know they'll be caught up and you don't have to spend that time going back through these experiences, and you get to actually just be you outside of this role for a bit.
Exactly, yeah. My friends are an absolute rock to me. I've got a few very close friends who have been keeping in contact, keeping a close eye on me, making sure I'm all right. And yeah, being able to lay out everything in the blog like that does enable me to not have to go through it with them in person. We can just talk about other things. I can talk about them, what they're getting up to in their lives as well. And I can elaborate on things I've written about. Yeah, they know why I'm comfortable with talking about. The main thing is the fact that they keep in touch. You know, they ask me how I am. Also talking to me about other things that are not to do with caring. So things we've been listening to or watching or whatever, just something different. They've also offered to meet up as well. And rather than me traveling to see them or, you know, us kind of meeting in the middle in central London, they've actually been coming down to my neck of the woods. They've been making the effort to travel that extra distance. Obviously leave mum on her own for too long or anything like that. And I don't want her to feel abandoned or anything, but she doesn't. She wants me to see my friends as well. She doesn't want me to stop my social life or anything like that. So, yeah, it's nice for mum to have a bit of a break from me probably sometimes as well, just for a bit of peace and quiet, because it is easy to care for someone else, but then to neglect yourself as well. You know, I mean, I need to register with Moorfields really to get my eyes looked at regularly more. Things like that, you know, I need to get onto that, but I can't really do that until things are more settled with mum. And I have promised her, for instance, that, you know, I will, you know, go to Moorfields and get properly registered with them when things have settled down. And that's given her extra incentive, I think, to get better as well, because she wants to make sure that I can live my life and that I'm healthy, because she doesn't want me to go through what she's going through. Now, part of the reason that she's struggling so much is that she didn't have the support she needed going through her life with visual impairment. You know, she didn't have much support growing up. She didn't have much support in more recent years either. It was so difficult to get appointments that she just gave up, basically. So she's never had the help she needed, and she doesn't want me to go through that as well, because if she'd had the help, she probably wouldn't be in quite the state she is now.
What have been some of the major challenges or major moments where you've navigated that shift in your relationship?
I think the biggest shift for me is the fact that mum is going through things that I don't fully understand and appreciate. I know she's going through things that are very scary and frightening for her, and I don't know what it's like to experience that. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, the world around her is normal. I know she's perfectly safe where she is. You know, I know that she knows where she is, but there are times that she doesn't. There's times when her brain does kind of play tricks on her, because it's essentially trying to make sense of the fact that it can't see anything anymore. It can't even see light anymore. And it's making a bit of a hash of it, to be honest. It's not interpreting things correctly sometimes, especially when she's tired. So it just seems strange to me when she panics and stuff like that. And I get a bit frustrated sometimes, and it's not with her. It's just the fact that, as I say, I can't help her. There are certain things I can't stop. But because of that, because I know it's so frightening, I am a lot more affectionate towards her than I was. You know, we've always, you know, loved each other and everything, but we've never really been affectionate in terms of like hugging and things like that. We do that a lot now. I'm very much more tactile with her, just to reassure her that I'm there and holding her hand and things like that. And she really likes that. And she's got cuddly toys that I've given her as well. So I make sure that, you know, she's got them in bed of the night, stuff like that. So she appreciates that kind of gesture from me. They're kind of an extension from me. And then, yeah, it's just taking on the caring responsibilities more in general. It kind of crept up on us a little bit because we hadn't expected it to happen. But she was having more and more falls, and that was raising her anxiety levels and things like that. It's a combination of losing all of her light perception and having falls due to old age as well. It's just completely knocked her confidence and everything. And it came as a big shock to both of us, a big adjustment. And when you are a carer, there's no kind of rule book. There's no guide to it. There's no help with it particularly. You can kind of start to reach out and look for help, but you've got to know what help is there in the first place, and then get the help. You know, I mean, I've applied for a carer's assessment. I haven't had it yet, for instance. It's quite hard to kind of find the help you need initially. It's great once you start getting it. That was kind of the difficult, frustrating thing of what help would we be able to get? Are we going to be struggling? How long is all this going to take? Are things going to get worse? Now we are in a position where it does seem that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we are getting more support. Mum's been getting a lot of help recently, and there's more support on the horizon that we're getting for her. But it's definitely been quite a long and surprising journey that's taken us both quite some adjustment to. still difficult sometimes, but we are in a better position than we were to begin with, certainly.
Thanks, Glenn, for that. We'll hear more from your interview a little bit later on in the show. But what resonated with me was the appointment situation, because you never get a choice of when those appointments are going to come up. So if your mum's got an appointment at so-and-so hospital, you might have an appointment at the other hospital, and you know you've got to take your mum because she's the priority. Or I'm saying mum, but anybody that you're caring for, you have to take them. So you have to put your needs down the list, and it's a very hard thing as a carer to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the change of roles that you sometimes need to step into when someone around you is having a hard time or you become a carer can be really tricky itself. But I imagine it's also quite complicated for Glenn, because him and his mum share a sight loss condition, and in some ways he's seeing a possible future for himself while also seeing what his mum is going through.
If he's not able to get the appointments that he needs for his condition, he will be in the same position as his mum in a few years' time. And that's very scary. That's a very scary thought, to know that if you don't get your appointments, that you could be as your mum. But if you could get them, you might be better off.
It's a great thing for Glenn that his mum is so keen and reminds him that he needs to get appointments and wants him to be able to look after himself as well. And I think it's such an admirable thing that he's sharing his story in such a candid way, and we'll hear later on about some of the organisations that Glenn has found really useful and how his community have stepped up to help him as well. But for now, speaking of family, we've very shortly got Family Band coming up on Good Company right after this.
Stuck on what to buy this Christmas? RNIB has you covered. From festive treats to gifts designed for blind and partially sighted people, you'll find something special for everyone on your list. Shop the RNIB Christmas range at shop.rnib.org.uk. See Christmas differently with the RNIB.
Good Company on RNIB Connect Radio.
Welcome back to Good Company here on RNIB Connect Radio. Now we have Family Band. Who is it today, Amelia?
We are listening to a identical twin band called the Alessi Brothers. They are Billy and Bobby, and they had been performing music since their early teens. They were even in Hair on Broadway before they started to release their own music. So they've got to be great singers, and they do have great hair, I can confirm, having seen pictures. And in 1977, this song reached number 8 on the UK charts and spent 11 weeks there, and it became a top 10 hit in 17 more countries. And it's just a lovely upbeat song for this November day. So here are the Alessi Brothers with Oh Laurie.
I'd like to stay in love with you all summer, and after fall I'll keep you warm through the winter. Ooh, 'cause I've noticed one thing, this ain't no summer fling. I like to ride my bicycle with you on
Ah, I really enjoyed that. Thanks, Amelia, for choosing that one. We'll have another family band next time on Good Company.
And now we will listen to the beautiful voice of Diana Ross. This next song is all about working together to get through tough times. Diana Ross here at Good Company, your relationship show at RNIB Connect Radio. We're going back to the interview with Glenn, who shares how he holds it together and the techniques and the organisations that help him do so. Thanks for joining us again, Glenn. So let's talk more about you and your mum working through things together. What were some of the most helpful conversations you both had?
I think was essentially just talking more in general, really. We've never necessarily been that great in talking about our emotions with each other. Like many people, we kind of just assume we know how the other's feeling, or we're just reluctant to talk about it. I mean, Mum was reluctant to talk about some of her things in case, you know, in case I thought she was going mad, like with some of the issues she's had with her vision she's having and things, or she didn't she didn't want to upset me or anything like that, and likewise I didn't want to upset her, but we've learned to kind of talk more. So there are definitely moments where we've sat down and spoken, even at odd hours. I mean, it's tended to be sometimes, like, occasionally in the middle of the night we've had a chat, you know, when she's been a bit anxious and everything, and it's just ended up being the right time, just out of nowhere. We've just chatted about things and just having those lengthy conversations and showing that we do understand each other, and that, you know, reassuring each other that, you know, we do care about each other, we do love each other despite the frustrations we may have had along the way. Letting her know that I care about her, just reassuring her of that, and that I'm never going to abandon her, and that she still cares about me even if she gets a bit frustrated sometimes. It's just made that bond so much stronger between us than it already was.
Yeah, it sounds like so many positive things have come out of you learning how to have these more open conversations. How have you found having an outlet for your frustration around the situation while balancing these responsibilities as well, and living, having the situation always be present in your home as well?
Yes, it is difficult. As I say, it is frustrating sometimes because I wish I could just wave a magic wand and fix everything. You know, sometimes she's perfectly comfortable with where she is, sometimes she's not. And that catches me off guard sometimes when she has a change of mood, a change of personality maybe. So I've kind of learned to kind of temper that a bit more, because, you know, I don't like being like that. I don't like getting frustrated. I don't like her hearing me sound frustrated either, because she thinks I'm getting angry with her, and I'm not. And I'm not a frustrated person. I'm a very happy, positive person. So it unnerves me that I get like that sometimes. I don't get really angry or shouty or rude towards her or anything. But yeah, I have got a bit irritated sometimes if, say, I'm trying to work or something, or just trying to relax, and all of a sudden she's calling me regularly. But I have managed to regulate that more. I'm much more conscious of myself doing it now. And if I do find myself getting a bit frustrated, I immediately comfort her afterwards and say, you know, I'm sorry, it's not you, you know. So I'm very much more conscious of it, of what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what the impact is on her. Yeah, she's more understanding of that now as well. And again, that's one of the things that we've talked about.
And in the harder moments when things felt really low, what are some of the things that have sustained you?
It was very difficult to begin with. It's the not knowing what's going to happen. Are things going to keep getting worse? You know, she was having more and more falls. I could see it getting worse. And I was just really scared that she might never get her confidence back. You know, things just keep getting more and more difficult. I'd have to spend more and more time caring for her. It might be difficult to get the help. Would it cost a lot to get the help? Would she injure herself so badly that, you know, she'd end up seriously injured or worse? It's just the not knowing what was happening, what, you know, what help we may or may not get, how much it would cost, all that kind of thing. And it's just the shock as well of just seeing her change so much. You know, to start of the year things have been quite calm and relaxed. You know, I've been going out socializing quite a lot. You know, I joined a new social group that was feeling really positive. Mum was happy that I was doing that as well, going out and meeting more people, and everything was looking good. Then all of a sudden everything just stopped, everything changed, she changed, and it was a big shock to the system for both of us. And I think one of the things I really learned to do was to allow myself to cry sometimes, to be honest, which I know is a hard thing for men to admit. Men's mental health is quite a difficult topic for men to talk about. But yeah, I did, you know, eventually allow myself to have a good cry, to have that release. You know, I was holding it back for a while, but it's like, no, I need to let this out. So I just, you know, went to a private space and just let it come out, because it was such a relief. It was such a release to do that. And knowing how it felt to do that, as horrible as it is to have a cry at the time, it's like when you've done it, you do feel refreshed. It's it helps you focus on things a bit more clearly. And if that's one message I can put across, don't be afraid to have a cry. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Again, it's a natural human thing that has a very beneficial impact. It's built into our bodies for a reason. So
absolutely. And I think especially when you're taking on a caring role towards a parent, it can be really helpful to get back in touch with some of those inner child things that just make you feel safe and warm and cared for.
Yeah, I mean, the cuddly toy I'm referring to is actually one that I've had since childhood. It is actually a childhood toy, and so it's an amazing comfort. And the toy I've given Mum is a toy I was given as a gift by a very close friend. So there's significance to both of the cuddly toys that we have in the house. So, yeah, they're a real comfort. Even though they're inanimate objects, you know they can't hear you or anything like that. There's just something strangely comforting about a friendly face looking at you and a soft cuddly toy you can squeeze, let the stress out a little bit. It's lovely.
And you've found a lot of really practical kind of everyday tools as well that have been useful for lifting the responsibility off you and making your mum feel more independent as well, like telecare and, like you say, this carer's allowance. What are some of those practical things that you've set up and how have they made a difference?
Well, telecare is very important because that means she wears a pendant alarm around her neck, and if she ever needs help, she can press it, or if she ever falls over and she doesn't get up again, then the pendant will automatically sound the alarm. So there's a unit sitting on the windowsill downstairs in the lounge, and if the alarm goes off, then someone calls her through that and they can talk to her. If they can't hear her, they can call the emergency services. We have a key safe so that emergency services can get in if need be with the code. They haven't got to break the door down or anything. So yeah, when I'm out and about, knowing that mum's wearing the pendant, it means she can get help if the worst should happen. In terms of my Amazon Echo devices, I've been using that to kind of enable her to ask for certain messages. Like if I go out to the shops or something, or to meet a friend, there's a command I've set up on there. So if she says, "Where is Glenn?" it will tell her where I am. You know, I update it, you know, when I'm out and about. Or you know, Glenn is currently in Marks and Spencer's and he'll be home very soon or something like that. Or Glenn is with his friend and he'll be home at such and such a time. It just reassures her to know that she can ask the machine that and she'll have an idea of where I am and when I might be coming home. And then I've just tried to reach out for other things from our local social services, people like that. We've got rails put in the house for her. And also as a result of her being in hospital, actually, she's been getting extra support that way. She's had a couple of accidents where she's ended up in hospital, but particularly the most recent one where she broke her wrist. The NHS have been brilliant at looking after her in hospital and then arranging for things beyond that. It's triggered so many things in terms of support, in terms of occupational therapy, physiotherapy, aids and things we're getting at home, carers, things like that. We didn't realise so much help was available, that we get so much help. So, you know, mum's been pleasantly surprised by that, as have I. At least we are getting it. It's a similar kind of thing, but we're getting a new toilet frame put in. She's getting a wheelchair soon, which is going to be a big game changer, because it's going to enable us to get her out much more easily and safely. We're really looking forward to that. We don't want her to stop walking around, but having a wheelchair there will enable us to take her much longer distances and, you know, get her over ground that isn't quite so stable to walk on. And yeah, she's been having physiotherapy. And occupational therapists have come round. We've got a mental health doctor who's in touch as well. We're trying to get her help with her sleep because she hasn't been getting enough of that, or not at the right times either. So yeah, we're getting help from lots of different people now. You know, in the long term, we will probably get a care agency involved as well to help with some tasks, take the weight off me, and yeah, make her really feel cared for, get her out and about a bit more again, help her do more around the house, get her confidence back.
And alongside the NHS, what were some of the other organisations that helped you feel supported?
Well, the RNIB is one. I've signed mum up for counselling. She's going to start with them very soon. The Aniridia Network, who support people with aniridia like myself, they put my story in their newsletter. Beyond that, it's really our local social care team. There's a lovely lady there, a visual rehabilitation specialist, who has been very, very kind, very helpful with several things. It's just a shame that it takes an accident to know that all that help is there, really.
Finally, for other people that are in a similar position to you, or that have parents or relatives that they are caring for, what is sort of one key lesson or one key piece of advice from your experience that you'd like to share?
I would say don't hide away. You don't have to write a blog like I do, but don't be afraid to tell people about it. Tell friends, family, reach out to your local support services, charities, social care, whatever it may be. You don't have to deal with this on your own. There is help out there. So just reach out as much as you can. Plenty of things you look at online for carers, for instance. You're not on your own with this. There are so many other people, millions of people who are caring for someone. And there are bound to be people out there in a similar situation to you somewhere. So yeah, just don't be afraid to share your story with people, either on social media or just with people you know, whatever it may be. I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Tell people what's going on, and you never know what support might come back to you. Just only takes one or two people to point you to something or to say something helpful that can make a big difference. So yeah, don't hide away.
And where can people read the Carers Journal as you update it and read more about your other interests and work?
So my blog is wellinever.com, and that's the word I in the middle, so wellinever.com. If you do /carer on the end, then you'll see all my an index of my journal posts for being a carer as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Glenn Turner, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn, for that. It's really good to hear how you help yourself cry. Some of the organisations around where I live are really helpful for carers, but it is the case of finding out where you live and knowing where to go to, which is, of course, always the clever thing of where you live is the postcode lottery for every support agency, because it's all different where we live around the UK.
It's brilliant that the hospital visit was able to trigger all of the additional support that Glenn and his mum are now receiving. And I think it is so important and good to share that sometimes we all need a cry. Especially when we're supporting other people, it can be hard to make room for our own frustration and our own emotions. And I think it's so important to find a space where you feel like you can be yourself and let it all out. For me, sometimes it's throwing rocks into the sea, or it might be going on a fast run. And I find that very therapeutic because I know that I kind of need to gather my things together by the time I get home, and then I can be relaxed at home. But I think it's really useful to find these little releases, even if it is squeezing a cuddly toy like Glenn does as well, that just help you get through the difficult things.
Cuddling a dog always helps as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the tech that he has embraced has been really impressive as well. So having the key safe and having his mum with a wearable alarm means that when he's out and about, he can have peace of mind and know that if anything did happen, she'd have support or would have ways to contact him, but he'll be able to try and be present in the breaks that he has as well.
One little tip, if that you do have a relative that needs to have an alarm around their neck and they need hearing aids, make sure that they can reach their hearing aids at all times if they take them out during the night or anything, because there's no point in pushing those buttons if they can't hear people talking to them. And if, like Glenn, you're caring for someone, you can talk to your local council, the social service department at your local council, and ask for a carer's assessment for yourself. You're asking for yourself, and it will also benefit the person you're caring for as well.
Thanks again to Glenn for sharing your story. And as he said, you can stay updated with future carers journals and learn about the other things that he's passionate about on his website too. But for now, we'll listen to some music that means a lot to him. Here is Glenn's Dedicated To.
Hello, it's Glenn Turner again. For my Dedicated To track, I would like to request Billy Joel's Just The Way You Are, because it echoes my sentiments for my mother, who I love very much and care about very much. And it's a song that has great significance to both of us.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion, don't change the color of your hair. Have my unspoken passion, although I might not seem to care. I don't want clever conversation, never want to work that hard. I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are. Need to know that you will always be the same old someone that I knew. I promise from the heart. I couldn't love you any better. I love you just the way you are. Wait. I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you
are. A great track, Billy Joel here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Wise Words by Toby, right after this.
Are you living with sight loss and looking for a safe space to share, listen and be heard? This autumn, RNIB is running a series of support groups, each led by a qualified counsellor. Confidential, therapeutic sessions where you can connect with others who understand your experiences. Groups run online through audio only for 8 weeks with just 7 participants, so there's plenty of time to feel supported. This year's sessions include groups for sight loss and therapy, retinitis pigmentosa, and domestic abuse. Can't join now? Don't worry, more groups are coming in the new year, covering topics like employment, family, friends, and Charles Bonnie syndrome. To book your place, email cwt@rnib.org.uk today. Spaces are limited, so sign up early, because support is stronger when we share it together.
Good company on RNIB Connect Radio.
Shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame, shame. way you mess around with the mess. I try to stick with you, show your love so true, but you won't appreciate the love we try to make. Oh, it's a got to be a shame.
Detroit Spinners here on Good Company. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time to head over to our very own Toby Davey for some wise words.
So, some wise words about caring or being the carer. You want to be there for them, and that's part of your relationship with them. And I think sometimes we don't necessarily realise that what we are doing is caring for somebody. It can be tough, it can be hard, and you will do as much as you can for them. And I think you as the carer, you need a little bit of time for yourself now and again. And I think the person you're supporting or caring would want you to have that time away. And it might just be that, you know, you need half an hour's break to go on a quick walk down to town or around the block and that kind of stuff. Or it might be going and having a cup of coffee or drink with a close friend who knows you and understands you and is a good listener. We do need to, at times, download things. We do need to talk to people and not to feel sort of as if you're letting the person you're supporting or caring for down if you're having a bit of time to talk to somebody.
Thank you so much, Toby, for your wise words. We'll have some more next time here at Good Company.
Yes, and if you have some wise words from a loved one or wise words of your own about relationships, we would love to hear them. You can contact us over email on radio@rnib.org.uk or find us on social media. We're on X, Facebook, Blue Sky and Threads, and just search RNIB Connect Radio and you can type some wise words or send us a voice note depending on what you prefer. Thank you so much for joining us for another Good Company. We'll be back in December with more interviews from the blind and partially sighted community, all about navigating different relationships, and we'll have a festive family band. For now, though, I've been Amelia Hilton.
And I'm Karen Y, and here is Delta Goodrum to take you into the news.
For the hero.